I haven't seen a lot of preachers with revelations, with the realization that people are really lost and they really are going to spend eternity in a place called hell. And I hate to mention those words, deal with those subjects. I like to deal with lighter things, but that's why he came and died, so no one would have to go there. Can you say amen? And I don't think that we can ever get that vision and get that understanding without our hearts being rended. Amen. By what we see all around us. So many confused, so many lost, so many people headed pell-mell, running fast toward that sure judgment to come. And a nation spinning into that same orbit of people headed for judgment. Amen. This is a serious, serious day. And I have joy in my heart, and you're going to hear in this service, there's going to be some joyful moments like we have, amen, and there's going to be some lighthearted moments because it's such a heavy subject. I don't think we could carry the burden without the joy of the Lord, amen. But it's not a joy that separates me from a concern. It's not like saying, well, I'm okay, so let all that happen. No, my heart is broken for the world that we live in and the people that are seemingly going along the road of life. Very fast, driving very fast toward destruction. And there doesn't seem to be many warning signs out there to try to slow them down. Can you say amen? And we need some warning signs to help slow us down if we're headed in that direction, to bring us to an end of ourselves. And now, I'm grateful you're here tonight. I'm grateful for this little group of people, this little flock. I've often read about the righteous remnant in Scripture. The Bible said that when judgment came in Israel, they'd all went into idolatry. Now the judgments had come. And the prophet said, unless there had been left unto us a very small remnant, we had become just like Sodom and just like Gomorrah, except that small righteous remnant had been left. Those that could intercede effectively. Those that had a heart for the things of God. Those that looked like so little, they were insignificant. Amen. That it looked like it was all was lost. But he said, no, it's not. There's a remnant left. It's a very small remnant on top of that. But there is a remnant. And because of that remnant, the only thing they could possibly do is intercede. Can you say amen? But they did, praise God. And God restored Israel. God brought them back and restored his blessing upon them in spite of that kind of idolatry. Thank God. Hallelujah. That's why I'm calling the remnant that will hear me to righteousness, saith God. For it takes a righteous remnant to intercede. Just anyone can't intercede. For I require more than faith. I require more. Yea, that a man may stand in the gap and make up the hedge, or a woman, saith God. I require righteousness in the life. I require righteousness in the heart. I require these things that I may answer. That's why I'm preparing you so that you can stand in the gap. And you may make up the hedge, saith God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. And I sought for a man among them. If you don't think prayer is important, we're going to probably quit on this song. But you don't think prayer is important. God said, I sought for a man. Amen. God has set it up this way. This is the way that he wants to run things. This is the way he does run things. Amen. We've sung that last one, I believe. Amen. He said, I sought for a man among them to do what? Stand in the gap. Why does God need a man to do that? Why does he want to do that? Amen? It's not because we're so great or he wants to give us some kind of control to where we are in control of something. But he has set his system up that he requires, amen, that there be someone on earth praying. Amen. When he wants to do something, he raises up somebody to pray. He does the same thing about his prophets. Same thing. I will do nothing. I will do nothing. Amen. Unless I reveal it. It's not putting the prophet in control. It's saying that I'm going to use the prophet to make everybody aware of what I'm about to do. There's going to be an opportunity and a space for repentance. Amen. I will not send judgment without sending first prophet. He told Jerusalem in ancient Israel that I will send. He said when he wept over Jerusalem, Jesus said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that stone the prophets and kill them that are sent unto you. How many times, if you'd given heed, would I have taken you under my wing as a mother hen does her chicks with a tender, protective love. But you wouldn't let me do it. And what came was the overthrow of Jerusalem. I understand like a million Christians were crucified when Rome took over. They killed so many, they desecrated and burned the temple. And it didn't have to happen because people were sent with the message of repentance. What was John's message? Repent, make the crooked path straight. What did they do? He was killed because he stood for righteousness. He was a preacher and a proclaimer of righteousness. It's just that simple. Amen. He talked to them about sin and the need for forgiveness. By the way, the founders of the faith in terms of the apostles, they did the very same thing. Amen. When Paul preached to Felix, we didn't have to have the sermon in transcript to know what was in that sermon. Because the Bible said when Paul was through preaching to Felix, he reasoned, the governor, he reasoned of righteousness. Number one in his presentation was the need to be right with God. He talked to him about temperance, about self-control. God requires that we live above the animal kingdom. Since the children are gone, they got a lady that teaches all about the sexual stuff. I've Dr. So-and-so, which it doesn't matter what kind of, you know, doctor's degrees they have. The Bible's the final authority. But she's teaching everybody. And she's saying, don't expect your kids to be celibate. Don't expect them. They can't. In other words, once you categorize us right down with the animal kingdom, you can't expect us to live right. Because we just can't do it. We can't help ourselves. I mean, you know, it's so Paul talked about righteousness, and in order to be right with God, he talked about temperance. You can't just live your life in sinful self-seeking. You can't do that. And he said, but if you choose to do that, here's the third point of his message: righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. You've got an answer for your actions down here. And boy, that's something people don't want to hear about, that we have to account to somebody for our actions down here. But we're going to account. There's a payday someday. Can you say amen? And the Bible said it's appointed unto man once to die, and something happens immediately after that happens. And after that, the judgment. Can you say amen? Well, we want to be right with God tonight. How about you? Amen. If you have your Bibles, would you open them? I'm going to read a couple of things, I believe, here tonight, if I can find my notes. Just a couple of things that I would like to read to you if I can find them. If I don't, we'll save them for another time. I found them. I'm going to read it. If you have your Bible, let me give you a scripture that we will deal with tonight. Praise God. I'm so glad to be here. I'm so glad that I've been saved, and I'm so glad that I'm looking forward to the coming of Jesus Christ. We're going to talk about three things about prayer tonight while we're on this prayer situation. And God wants to do something big. He's going to put his people a-praying. I want to make three statements before I read this. Prayer is personal communion with God, first and foremost. Before it's anything else, it's personal communion with God. It's having a genuine, intimate, personal conversation with the God that we've been reconciled to. And the second thing is, it's partnership, a divine partnership to achieve his purposes. Amen. That little saying, when God wants to do something big, he sets his people a-praying. There's a lot of truth in that theologically. That's a correct thing to say, biblically substantiated. Can you say amen? God calls us to prayer. Amen. He's the sovereign of the universe, and yet he says, you know, I look for a man on that planet. I look for a man to stand in the gap and make up the hedge. I didn't find a man. Wasn't it great when he did find a man? Wasn't it great when Moses stood up in behalf of Israel, when God had it with them? Amen. God said, you know, they're so rebellious, they're so hard-headed and so hard-hearted. And you know what he was doing? Because God knew that how the man was going to respond to him. God knew how Peter was going to respond the next day. Peter didn't know, but God knew. He's seen the end from the beginning. He's omniscient. He knows everything. He knows your heart, so therefore he knows what your next move is going to be. Can you say amen? He knows what you're going to do when you're tempted. He knows what you're going to do when people cut you off in traffic. Can you say amen? The people don't know. You may not know, but you're going to find out when it happens. Hopefully, you will respond with patience. Amen. But and she's shaking her head. No, see, there you are. At least we got an honest lady here. Praise God. Amen. Well, just don't give them the bad finger. Or do anything you have to repent of. Just hold on to the wheel and say, Lord, reward them according to their works, okay? Amen. That's about the best you could do. But God knows. And God knew what Moses was going to do when he said, because God never intended to forsake Israel. He's not that kind of God. He said, I'll never forsake you. I got a covenant with you. Can a mother forsake her suckling child? Yes, she may. But the covenant people, no, I will not forsake you, O house of Israel. I just won't do it. You break covenant with me, so I can't bless you till you have to be carried off into bondage and chastened to bring you back. But the reason I want you, I don't just want you punished, I want you back so I can bless you. I want to keep my covenant to 1,000 generations. Praise God. Hallelujah. So when he said, I'll just destroy Israel for their rebellion and their idolatry and their meanness and hard-headedness and bitterness. And Moses stands out in intercession. And in essence says, you know, you have to more or less kill me, destroy me. He said, no, I'm not going to do that. God wasn't repenting. God was looking for a man, amen, to stand up and make a difference. If you think you can't make a difference, God is not looking for you tonight. Amen. If you think it's too late and it's too far gone, God can't find that man. And what happens when you can't find a man that believes that a man can make a difference when God is raising a man up for that very purpose to pray and intercede? What happens? He said, I look for a man just among them that would stand in the gap. What gap? Amen. My hand is not short that it can't save. My ear is not heavy that it can't hear. What brought the gap? Amen. But your sins have separated between you and your God. Someone is eligible and qualified to stand in the gap and do what? And make up what? The hedge. What's a hedge? Amen. I got a hedge in my front yard that I have to trim. It's not that kind of hedge. Amen. Do you remember around Job? There was something called a hedge. Many Bible scholars call it a wall of righteousness. Amen. Because the man was right with God, God had a protective barrier around him, a protective wall around him. And when he gave the devil permission to have at him, and don't you can touch anything but his life, the devil said, I can't have at him unless you get the hedge down. I can't. I like it when the devil says, I can't, without God's permission. Can you say amen? Oh, you didn't hear me tonight. I am so tired, amen, of hearing about a devil that's running completely loose to do what he wills to God's people. He is not. If you don't give place to him, amen, then the hedge is going to stay up. He could no more destroy you. Amen. He wants to. Don't get me wrong. Amen. He wants to. Satan has desired to have you all that he may sift you as the wheat. But Christ is interceding. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. But I have prayed for you. I don't know how many people pray for me, but I believe some people here are praying for me because I feel your prayers. But if nobody else prayed for me, I am guaranteed victory if I stay right with God. Why? Because Jesus is praying for me. He's praying for me that my faith would not fail. And when, not if, I'm delivered and changed, hallelujah, to strengthen my brethren. No wonder God doesn't want anybody getting free because he knows it's going to affect other people. Amen. David said, he lifted me from the miry clay, put my feet upon a rock, and put a song in my heart. The humble, and this is in the negative sense of that word humble. It means those that are broken by life's pitfalls, and they're broken by sin, and they're embittered. He said, those people that look like they're hopeless are going to hear what God has done for me, and they're going to take a brand new attitude of hope, and they're going to be glad. Aren't you glad to hear of testimonies of what God has done in the lives of people that look so hopeless? He's a gracious, good, and mighty God and King tonight. Praise God. Hallelujah. So he looks for a man that can qualify and stand up and stand in the gap and make up the hedge. He said, I didn't find one. And in that case, he said, so I brought judgment. I brought judgment. Don't you love the absolute intercessory ministry of Abraham? How the angels come at his campfire and he said, where are you going? He said, we're going to the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. We're going to report to God. And if we can't find some redeemable quality, something to avert the judgment, then we're here to execute that judgment. And he immediately stands up because he knows that if he can stand in the gap, he can make up the hedge. And he says, For 50 righteous, would you spare the cities and give them more time for repentance? For 50 righteous. Doesn't mean spare them as if judgment would never come. It means what he does when people intercede, he gives a space for repentance. Can you say amen? He was going to give them a space for repentance if you could find 50 righteous. That righteous remnant is so powerful. It doesn't have to be big, because he kept dealing with him, didn't he? He said, how about 40? He said, for 40, I'll spare. How about 30? Yes. How about 20? Yes. And then he really pushes the envelope of grace. If you think grace and mercy isn't in the Old Testament, you better read it again. Because Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And the Bible said his mercies are new every morning. And therefore have I hope in Lamentations chapter 3. Can you say amen? So grace and mercy is being toward the covenant people is in effect in the Old Testament. It's just amplified in the New Testament. Can you say amen? Praise God, in a brand new dispensation of love because of that final and fruitful sacrifice of Jesus at the cross. If I can find 10 righteous, I will not destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. 10 righteous. The problem is, couldn't find 10 righteous. Amen. So judgment came, but there was an intercessor. There was someone dealing with God for those people. Jonah missed it. He wanted it to fall to verify what he told him was the truth, and got mad when God didn't send judgment. Amen. You know who interceded? The wicked king. He became the intercessor. He proclaimed a fast in the land. He said, not only are we not going to eat, because I believe this message of judgment is shaking me to the core of my being. I believe God is tired of it. I believe we've hit that flash point where judgment is sure. But I'm going to call on him for mercy. And I want everybody in this kingdom, in my kingdom, to call on him for mercy. And he got all those pagan people together to intercede. Amen. And it pleased God when he saw that. Can you say amen? When he said, he proclaimed a fast and everybody fasted. Nobody touched food that day. And he said, this fast is going to be so complete. Don't feed the dog. Don't feed the bird. Don't even feed the fish. You say, Brother Bevel, that is a fish an animal? Yes, it is. Amen. And he said, don't feed an animal. So that had to include the fish. If you had fish in a fish bowl, he don't eat today. Amen. The dog don't eat today. The cat don't eat today. Cat ain't going to like it, but he don't eat today. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. They left a horse at Sean's place. This is a horse with papers. This is a pedigree horse. And they just left it, kicked it in with the house that he bought. Amen. And boy, the gal loves the horse. But that horse has got some horse sense. The horse gets his feed bucket, brings it up and bangs it against the fence in the morning. That's the next thing to Mr. Ed, isn't it? This is the next thing to Mr. Ed. Wilbur, I'm hungry. You didn't even feed the fish. Why? Because he said, if we can get right with God, maybe he won't judge us. We get down here before God and show him we mean business about getting right with him. Maybe he won't judge us. Listen, God said, I have no pleasure in the death of him that died. I don't enjoy judging people. What really gives him joy is when he's able to restore us and bless us. He takes pleasure. Woo! He don't have any pleasure in the death of him that dieth, but he takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. And prosperity begins with being right with him so he can put a hedge around us. Can you say amen and keep us? Glory to God from the world, the flesh, and the devil. Praise God and prosper us even as our soul prospers. Praise God. And when your soul prospers, you have a spiritual value system. You know what you have in Jesus right now, and you quit envying the wicked. And you don't put your roots down in this world that's passing. Can you say amen? Because it's passing. And your body, I try to stay healthy because I know that it's hard to pray for certain things if I don't do certain things. Amen. I can't get me a banana split and ask the Lord to take the calories out. Amen. I wish I could. I wish I had the faith to say, Lord, take all the calories out of this banana split in the name of Jesus. Amen. Then I could have me two. That's why I like low-fat ice cream. You can eat twice as much. That's why I love it so much. So ice cream is, that's what I do too. I say, that's low fat. I'll have me another bowl of that. I'm not supposed to eat the one bowl of the Breyers, amen, or the Haagen-Dazs. Who said Haagen-Dazs? You did, didn't you? My man. Hallelujah. He knows that good ice cream. Knows how to pronounce it too. He Haagen-Dazs. We won't even go there, will we? You know, if you're trying to pray the calories out with faith, that might be Haagen-Dazs, come to think of it. This is Haagen-Dazs. I'm looking for a man. God's looking for a man. He's looking for a man to stand in the gap and make up the hedge. He said, I couldn't find one. But before I sent judgment, I looked for one. If my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, I will hear from heaven. That means there's a qualifying factor in God hearing from heaven. Can you say amen? It's not just a matter of praying. It's not just a matter of how intensely we pray. It's not a matter of how long we pray. The important thing is, do we qualify to pray? And he said, if you're not dealing with sin in your own life and willing to repent, you don't qualify to stand in the gap. You don't qualify to make up the hedge. Amen? No wonder he's calling us to righteousness. We have a crisis in the church, and I call it an identity crisis. We forgot who we are. We're the children of the Most High God. Our values ought to reflect something of the kingdom of God. It's not any gospel that is going to be preached into all the world before Christ returns, and I'm talking about his literal return, amen, not the catching away, but his return to stand upon that mountain. Oh, I got to get a microphone. Is this still on? Did you know the Jewish people, because of the threats all around them, the constant tension between them and all, literally, not just the nations in their immediate vicinity, but the nations of the world, you know what they're longing for? And I believe looking for, just because of what you said today, I believe they're starting to look again for the Messiah. Even the Orthodox Jewish faith is not practiced by and large in the nation of Israel anymore. It's a few fringe people that are still Orthodox in their faith. But because of the tension that is placed on this little nation about the size of New Jersey, but is in the news every single day, amen. And so much of what's happening in the world pivots on that little nation, that little piece of land. God owns the world and everything in it, but the only little piece of land on this planet that he owns, that he calls my land, amen, is that little piece of land. Isn't that incredible? And the only people on this planet until the new covenant that he called my people were the people that lived in that little land. Can you say amen? But that has expanded, hadn't it? Praise God. We've been grafted into the true vine. Everyone that's part of the household of faith is now his people. Praise God. He's got a land he claims. He's got a people he claims for his own. And would you mind telling us what Mr. Netanyahu said as recent as yesterday? This morning. Amen. Just come and relate what you told me.
Chris Wallace on Fox News interviewed Benjamin Netanyahu this morning, and he was really talking to him about nuclear weapons. And of course, the president has been really seeking to remove nuclear weapons from Iran in particular. And Chris Wallace asked him, how realistic do you think it is that, or when do you think it would be realistic to expect that nuclear weapons could be removed from the Middle East? And his answer was, when the lion lays down with the lamb.
Yeah. And when in the old covenant sense, will the lion lay down with the lamb? When the Messiah They believe when their Messiah comes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. I'm preparing hearts to receive the message. I'm preparing a people to recognize the Messiah has come, saith the Spirit of God. I'm preparing a nation, yea, even this day, saith the Lord, by my Spirit for what is to come. I am preparing hearts for salvation. Yea, I am at work, saith God. Stand in the gap. Make up the hedge. Cry unto me, my people. I am preparing you to stand in the gap, even as it is written, saith God. Hallelujah. Somebody give him praise tonight. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. My son has been delivered from alcoholism after almost 30 years because somebody stood in the gap and made up the hedge and didn't give up. My dad was healed of aggressive prostate cancer when he was in his mid-80s, and now he's past 90. Hallelujah. Because of intercession. When we pray for somebody, we're interceding. We're standing and beseeching God to touch them. Satan desperately wants to disqualify the church from that kind of praying and that kind of effective intercession. Because it doesn't matter what we say if we don't have a heart that is cleansed. That's why David said, if my faith is going to work, I've got to get in a position where my prayers can be answered. And that's why God, amen, has designed faith to work in the intimacy of prayer, not in the system that man is trying to set up to circumvent, amen, a relationship with God that is right. If you're just going to claim the word by faith, you don't even have to search your heart. Can you say amen? Amen? If faith is going to do it all. I don't see anywhere where faith does it all. I see a scripture where it says, without faith it's impossible to please him. For they that come to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder. God requires faith. But it doesn't take near as much faith as being presented. When you're in the will of God and you're right with God and you're praying for what he wants to do, it would be very foolish for him to sit back and twiddle his thumbs and say, well, when your faith comes up just a little more, amen, maybe I'll save somebody. But unless it comes up a little more, or maybe if it comes up a little more, because if it don't get way up here somewhere, you know, I'm gauging this thing. Amen. No, it don't take a... Listen, that's why Jesus used the mustard seed. Amen. If it's in his will, if he wants it done, praise God, then it don't take a lot of faith to get God to do what he wants to do. Amen. Amen. If you had faith, it's what? They said, Lord, increase our faith. You know what? Because they thought you got to have big faith to see big things done. No, you got to have faith in a big God. So he said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed. Amen. Isn't that incredible? Then you'll say to this mountain, be thou removed, and doubt not in your heart that what you say shall come to pass. How in the world could you say to this mountain? How could Joshua say to the sun, be still, and the moon don't rise any higher? Amen. Did he have some kind of divine authority in terms of him becoming a divine in authority to where his words were the words that made things happen? No, it's what God wanted done. He just spoke what God had revealed to him that he wanted done. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Jesus said, I don't even talk any faith words until I first hear my Father say it. Amen. Amen. It's not man in an arbitrary way using his faith to do what he wills. It's man working with God to attain what God wills. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's so beautiful when people just yield to the Lord. It doesn't take a lot of faith. We were not standing on the word or fighting devils for Alan's healing. God just did that as a bonus. We just asked the Lord to bless him and restore him. I'm finding out more about God's restoration. Amen. I love reading that scripture. It said, I'll restore unto you the years that the caterpillar, cankerworm, the locust, and the palmer worm had eaten from you. I'll send you the former latter rain in the season. My son wasn't expecting to be healed. Amen. I was so rejoicing in his deliverance from alcohol. I wasn't focusing so much. I asked the Lord to bless him and take care of him. But my son wasn't up at some great faith level. And we certainly didn't have to send nobody something. Amen. Amen. We didn't have to do that. Hallelujah. Stand up. Let me use you as an illustration. Here's why my son was healed. Right, not her. Amen. Nor me. Right here. With his stripes. With his stripes. With his stripes. Make no mistake about it. Tetelestai means paid in full. Can you say, man, he was saved because of what he did at the cross? His liver was healed because of what he did at the cross and because of why he went to the cross. For God so loved. Everybody say, for God so loved. You say, Brother Venable, he did it to himself. Nobody knows that better than my son. He said, I did it to myself. In other words, I don't deserve to be healed. Amen. I'm not even expecting to be healed. If I can live 6 months free of alcohol, he said, I will be so happy. Amen. But when I die, Jesus is going to be my king, and I'm not going to be a prisoner anymore of Satan. Hallelujah. And you know what God did? God healed his liver. Woo! Hallelujah. You say, Brother Venable, you're not following the formula that's out there. I know, because it's wrong. You don't need to follow it. I don't buy what Jesus paid for. I don't earn mercy. I don't earn grace. Hallelujah. But I receive it from him as the gift that it is. Can you say amen? Amen. And I made up one thing in me, and I'm not taking credit. I got preachers to pray with me. Y'all have been praying for years. We've been praying for so many years. You could skip a day and say, well, it don't really matter, because we've been praying for all these years. Nothing has happened yet, but it's starting to happen. And that's why I'm so excited about intercession. I'm so excited about prayer. I'm so excited about people qualifying before the Lord so that God can come through, so that we can get the help we need and God's name can be elevated again among his people. Can you say amen? So that the superstar is Jesus and not the preacher. Jesus and not the pastor. Jesus and not the evangelist. Can you say amen? So that God's covenant people have a relationship with their covenant God. Hallelujah. There are champions in the Bible that were nameless people. They were not men of renown like a great king by the name of David. They were David's mighty men. And they didn't come from some background. And David didn't himself, but God responded to them. And God answered. And God moved. And God came through. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let me read what Timothy Jones said tonight. God does not stand afar off as I struggle to speak. He cares enough to listen with more than casual attention. He translates my scrubby words and hears what's truly inside. I like that. How many know you can't always articulate everything you feel? Paul put it this way. He said, you know, sometimes I pray with my understanding. Sometimes I just have to defer to the Spirit, and I pray with my spirit. Amen. He translates my scrubby words and hears what is truly inside. He hears my sighs and uncertain gropings as fine prose. God knows what's in your heart before you try to articulate it. I said, God knows what's in your heart before you even try to articulate it. As far as I'm concerned, there's no wrong way to pray if you're praying with God as your source sincerely from your heart. He's going to listen. It don't have to ring like some great oratory. Amen. You can. I'm a King James student, so I use the these and thous very easily. Amen. When I pray, Lord, we beseech thee that thou wouldest do this and that. Amen. But if I didn't use the thee and thou, he would hear it anyway. Can you say amen? And the reason I like what this guy says about prayer is his intimate relationship with God. François Fenelon was martyred for his testimony of Jesus. You know what they did with him? They started out by cutting a finger off each day until they eliminated fingers from his hands. And he's dealing with the pain and the blood and all that went with that. And then they pulled him up a great height with a rope, and they dropped him from that great height. They didn't want him to hang and his neck break. They wanted to pull him up to a great height with a rope on a pulley and drop him so that he hit the ground and his legs would break, his arms would break. They kept pulling him up and dropping him, asking him to recant his faith in Christ, and he wouldn't. And they threatened to kick him out of the church. I mean, you know, it doesn't make you want to be part of a church that's trying to bust you up like that. He's in excruciating pain. He knows death is going to come. They're not going to quit till they kill him, and he's not going to die quick. And he said something like this from the church, whatever the present church thou may, but from his church you may not. Can you say amen? I'm part of a church that you can't kick me out of. Praise God. Man didn't start this one. Man doesn't control this one. Hallelujah. Isn't that incredible? François Fenelon. Amazing thing. I'd never preached through an interpreter in my life, but I'd read some of the things that, about François Fenelon, a man who really proved his faith and walked it out. When I got to Haiti, amen, and they assigned me an interpreter to speak when we got over to that big outdoor meeting, guess what his name was? They said, Brother Benwell, I'd like to introduce you to François Fenelon. Hallelujah. I said, glory be to God. I knew it wasn't him, you know, but it just blessed me. I said, I'm looking for a man that's dedicated with a name like that. And he was too. Praise God. He was dedicated. I got to preaching, and you know how the anointing comes on me and I forget everything else. Amen. And I got to preaching, forgot the interpreter. You're supposed to wait for him to interpret. And he was trying to keep up with me with the other microphone. And I suddenly realized, right in the middle of a sentence, that I had not stopped and let the interpreter interpret, but I could hear him talking just like me in French Creole, which I don't understand. And after it was over, I did try to pull back the throttle a little bit and acknowledge him, but it was almost done by then, you know. And after it was over, we'd made the altar call and prayed for people. I said, Francois, because he knew English, you know, and he knew what I was saying. He would communicate it. I said, Francois, I said, I'm so sorry. I said, please forgive me. I've never spoke with an interpreter. I said, once we got into that message, I didn't even pause to let you interpret. He said, oh, that is all right, my brother. He said, the same Holy Spirit that is in you is in me. And he said, he told me what you were going to say before you said it. Not in the exact words. You under what? But the truth of it, the essence of it was already in his heart. So he started interpreting right along in sequence with me. Oh, the Holy Ghost. There's nothing like the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let me tell you what this man said about prayer. Amen. A man with this kind of walk with God can tell you something about prayer. Amen. These folks out here today that haven't suffered anything. Amen. Are you listening to me? Amen. Are trying to talk to us about how to talk to God. Amen. I want somebody that's proven their commitment, that's walked with him through the valleys of life. Can you say amen? And found him to be faithful to talk to me about how to talk to God. Can you say amen? Would you like to hear what François Fenelon says? Not the one that I was my interpreter, but the one that they killed for the sake of the gospel, slowly and with an excruciating death. He said, tell God all that's in your heart, as one unloads one's heart, its pleasures and its pains to a dear friend. Tell God your troubles, that God may comfort you. Tell God your joys, that God may sober them. Tell God your longings, that God may purify them. Tell God your dislikes, that God may help you conquer them. Talk to God of your temptations, that God may shield you from them. Show God the wounds of your heart, that God may heal them. If you thus pour out all your weaknesses, needs, troubles, there will be no lack of what to say. Talk out of the abundance of the heart without consideration. Say just what you think. Blessed are they who attain to such familiar, unreserved intercourse with God. Francois Fenelon. Hallelujah. I am so glad when I pray, I don't have to impress people. I'm at a pastor's meeting. They asked me to pray, and all of these, you know, pastors are there. And, you know, there's a tendency of the flesh to pray a prayer to impress them with all that you know and how spiritual you are. God is totally unimpressed when we try to put on appearances. In fact, it comes under the heading of pride. I was in a meeting. They started the prayer with me as we were going to go around the table and everyone pray, and they started the prayer with me. And I just wanted to talk to my Heavenly Father. That's all I wanted to do, is talk to Him about the needs. How others judge me at that table is completely immaterial. It's how God is going to respond to me. Can you say amen? And I believe that God responds to sincerity. One thing I know about God, He resists the proud, but He gives grace to somebody. Can you say amen? He gives grace to the humble. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. I love the story of the man who prayed and got one word wrong that he pronounced wrong in his prayer. And there's always somebody that's going to point it out. Can you say amen? I don't mean point out a doctrinal error, but I want to be corrected. I want to get things right. But this guy just, you know, he was just a nitpicker. And he after the service was over, he challenged the guy that prayed, and he said, "You remember that word you used in your prayer? It is not pronounced that way, it's pronounced this way." That happened to me one time. I wish I had the foresight to tell this person what that man told that person. Because I was talking about the God who is omniscient and omnipresent and I got something mixed up in there, and it wasn't a doctrinal thing, it was a pronunciation thing. Amen. I got the pronunciation. You know, did you know that God actually understands what you're trying to say, even if you don't get the pronunciation right? You realize He could actually figure it out? Amen? That an omniscient God that says, if you're right with me, you know what happens? Before you pray, He knows that you're going to pray, so He's expediting the answer before you even vocalize it. Woo! Hallelujah. That's an Old Testament concept, but it's in there. And it shall come to pass, before they pray, I will answer. Because He knows they're going to pray, so He's already lining up everything. Woo! Hallelujah. Anyway, the guy challenged this guy on this pronunciation after church, and he said simply, he turned to him and he said, "Do you realize when you prayed, you pronounced this word this and it's supposed to be that?" And he said, "I wasn't talking to you." Amen? I wasn't talking to you. When you talk to God, it's not for people to judge. I love what he said. Blessed are they who attain to such familiar, unreserved intercourse with God. Can you say, man, that I can talk to Him from my heart and He understands what I'm saying, and He knows and He listens. Praise God. Hallelujah. I like what Oswald Chambers says. He said, "Our ordinary views of prayer are not found in the New Testament. We look upon prayer as a means for getting something for ourselves. The Bible idea of prayer is that we might get to know God Himself. That's why God designed prayer as the means, as the primary means to express our faith." Amen. You don't just print it on a refrigerator and chant it every day. You go to the Father. You talk to Him about it. And when you're coming to the Father, amen, there's the opportunity to get anything wrong right. There's the opportunity. Amen. Who shall approach the hill of the Lord? Just anybody, any old way? No, he that hath clean hands and a pure heart. Can you say amen? God does more than just answer a petition. We begin to develop a fellowship relationship. It's so intimate. He said there's all kinds of situations we need to pray in. But he said in your personal life, he wants it to be between you and him. Nobody else. You and him. That's why the Bible says, is any afflicted? God wants to deal with that through a personal fellowship relationship. Amen. Let him pray. If you're sick, call everybody. The elders and everybody. But if you're in trouble, afflicted, trouble, you got trouble, God says, come to me. I can give you peace. I can give you grace sufficient. But you've got to have a relationship with me. Can you say amen? Is any afflicted? Let him pray. Well, we get so dependent on anointed people to take care of business for us. Amen? And so many people are not in a personal relationship with him. And if we can't pray and find relief, and we can't pray and find release, we need to find out what the barrier is. Because God said, amen, when you pray, enter into your closet. Can you say amen? Amen? That means he wants you to have a place and a time where you meet with him. And he wants you to pour your heart out before him. Remember when the confession thing got so out of hand that you couldn't admit you had a cold while blowing things into a handkerchief that ought not be seen or talked about? Can you say amen? But you can't have a cold, because if you admit you have it, then you're asking for it. You're creating it in yourself. And to skirt the issue of having it, one preacher that had bought into that tenet, while he was hacking and coughing and blowing stuff out of his nose, someone looked at him like, I can't believe that you're sick or you have a cold, because you know if you don't claim it, you don't get it, in the negative sense of claiming it. So he said, I'm being healed of a cold. See, it's all crazy. Isn't that crazy? Well, you have it. Of course you're seeking to get better. Can you say, man, of course God is healing you of it, but you have it. If you don't be afraid you're going to get it if you confess it. You've got it. Amen? You've got it. I'm sorry, Chief. You got it. You're not superhuman. You're not divine. Your words don't create worlds. And it don't get rid of sinus problems. They're there. Oh, Lord. How did we get in this mess? I heard a pastor's wife the other day teaching. She said, I used to say, I'd see things in the Word of God and say, that just blows me away. She says, oh, but see, they believe their words create worlds. They believe they're on a God level, a God class. Said, I went to the next meeting. We were in a big convention somewhere, and they had tornado warnings up. And I thought, oh. And I thought, are you crazy? Do you actually believe if I said, oh, my goodness, we had a church service. I'm telling you, God moved so much, it just blew me away how God moved. That I'm going to create a hurricane in the Gulf of Mexico. This is on television, prominent preacher's wife, teaching what they taught her to teach. My words create my whole atmosphere of my life. Well, listen, it sounds like the Wizard of Oz to me. Amen. It sounds like the tornado came, but it didn't hurt anybody. It didn't blow down the convention. It didn't pick up Dorothy and carry her off to Oz. I know negativism is wrong. I know you can talk yourself out of a blessing, be so negative, but your words may create an atmosphere and an attitude, but your words don't create like God's words do. Can you say, man? They just simply do not. They get way out in left field somewhere and they order angels to go make them rich. Amen. They tell the angels, go bring me money. Amen. The angels say, what? Oh, yeah, I'm supposed to serve you. That's right. I'm going to go get anything you want. Honey, angels ain't here to get us anything we want. Angels are here to help us achieve everything that God wills Praise God. Amen. We don't tell angels what to do. God tells angels what to do. They minister to us in our behalf, praise God, but they're not under our jurisdiction. They're under His. Hallelujah. Oh, by the way, if they can tell angels to go get them money, then they don't need a mailing list. You can take us all off of it. Just tell the angels to go get it. Amen? While you're at it, get that money tree down at Lowe's and plant it in your backyard. It gets so silly. I like what A.W. Tozer said. He said, so when we sing, draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, we're not thinking of the nearness of place, but the nearness of relationship. It is for increasing degrees of awareness that we pray, for a more perfect consciousness of the divine presence. We need never shout across the spaces to an absent God. He is nearer than our own soul, closer than our most secret thoughts. I love what God told David. He said that God was a very present help in the time of trouble. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. You don't have to get your prayers past Pluto or Saturn. You can pronounce that both ways. I looked it up. John R. Mott said the church has not yet touched the fringe of the possibilities of intercessory prayer. Her largest victories will be witnessed when individual Christians everywhere come to recognize their priesthood unto God and day by day give themselves to prayer. Why did God choose prayer as the means for the expression of faith? Because He wants intimacy with His people. He doesn't want to be just a God who gives us some neat little faith formulas that we paste up on the walls and chant like a mantra. Can you say amen? He said, I want you to come boldly. Where? Into His presence, to the throne of grace, that we might obtain grace and mercy. And we're getting more than grace and mercy. We're getting an audience with Almighty God. And He's invited us into His presence. And we need to practice the presence of God in our personal lives. Amen. When you pray, He said, amen, to practice my presence, enter into your closet. Shut to the door. Can you say amen? He said, I don't want this to be a group thing. I want this to be between me and you. I want a relationship with you. I want you to be able to get relief when you're in trouble and you're under pressure. Amen. Go into your closet. Shut to the door. And the God who knows you're in there when nobody else can see you, praise God, the God who sees in secret shall reward you openly. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. So when they said, teach us to pray, he said, don't pray like the hypocrite. Number one, let me teach you how not to pray. Don't pray like they pray. And don't pray like the religious crowd of this generation, because they think they're going to be heard because of their much speaking. They love to stand and broaden their phylacteries and pray these long oratory prayers. He said, that's not what I'm looking for. And you can even fast and pray. And according to Isaiah 58, said, you will not pray as you do this day. You will not seek me as you do this day to make your words heard on high. But if you take away from the midst of thee the putting forth of the finger, can you say amen? And you deal out your bread to the hungry. And you hide not yourself from your own flesh. He said, then you'll be like a watered garden. Your light shall be as the noonday sun. You shall call upon me and I shall say, here am I. Does that mean God is going to physically appear? No, it means God is going to answer the prayer. Woo! And when that prayer is answered, he's saying, here am I. Can you say amen? Don't you love the story of Elijah and Elisha as we get ready to close? Don't you love that story? Amen. He said, I want a double portion. Amen. I want to be in line. Amen. For the anointing. God's going to need someone to bless Israel. I want to be that someone. Amen. Hallelujah. This wasn't out of pride. And I'll explain that double portion some night when we have time. But it wasn't just to have more power than the guy he was working for. Was to be useful to God and serve God's people. He had the right motive. And so the guy said, this is going to be a test for you. But if you're with me when God takes me up, amen, then you can have the mantle of power. Amen. And see, he said he went across a river, and he said, "Why don't you wait here? I'm going over there." And he said, "Not so, Master." Amen. He stuck with him like glue. Praise God. Amen. And a whirlwind and a chariot had to be sent. Two things God sent. Amen. One to separate him from his master, and while the other took the master up. He was that committed to being right there to the very point where he couldn't be with him anymore. And as the chariot went up, his mantle came floating back down. He went over and took the mantle and walked over to the river and took the mantle and he smote the waters of the river and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And God did not appear as a pillar of fire, but the waters stood up. Hallelujah. And when those waters stood up, God was saying, "Here am I." Can you say amen? Here am I. Here am I. Amen. God wants to say to the church, "Here am I," in answered prayer. Woo! We know where the Lord God of Elijah is. He's in the midst of us. The shout of a king is here. The question isn't, where is the Lord God of Elijah? He never changes. And he's present with his people. The question is, where are the Elijahs of God? Handa Mahoshanda, that's borrowed from Leonard Ravenhill, "While Revival Tarries," but it's still the truth in the 21st century. Where are the Elijahs of God? Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. Unbelievable that a man that God used so mightily to both correct and bless Israel could be just like us. Can you say amen? Did he get depressed? Go in the cave and ask him before God got there. Can you say amen? Did he stand in perfect faith? Just go in the cave and have a little conversation with him. Listen to him whine. Instead of simper fi, it was whimper sigh. Can you say amen? Amen? Simper fi, semper fidelis, always faithful. Instead of simper fi with him, it was whimper sigh. God walks in there, talking to him. He knows it's God. He said, "I'm the only prophet in Israel jealous for you." I can do this so well because I've done it so often. I'm the only prophet in Israel jealous for you. And they're going to kill me. I've had it. God was very tender with him. He said, "What are you doing here?" Come to get him out of that cave. Give him something to eat. Spiritually, angels brought something to him that he went on the strength of for 40 days. Praise God, and it changed his life. God came through. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? God came through when that man prayed. But he wasn't a super spectacular, hyper faith man. He was an obedient man. He was a righteous man. God told him build an altar, he built it. God told him to put water on the sacrifice, he put it. God told him dig a ditch, he dug it. Can you say, man, God told him to fill it with water? He filled it. And then he said, "Let the God that answers by fire." Hallelujah. And then when it come his turn, after Baal's prophets had cut themselves and did everything to get a God who is no God to move, you know what? When it came his turn, he didn't have to have an all-night prayer meeting. Amen. His prayer is one paragraph long, and it's a short paragraph, isn't it? He said, "Lord, let them know that at thy word I did all these things you told me to do." Can you say amen? And suddenly fire came out of heaven and consumed the sacrifice. Glory to God. God looking for a man. Looking for a man. Looking for a man. Looking for a woman. Somebody that can qualify. Hallelujah. To stand in the gap and make up the hedge. We're almost done. Man by the name of Basilia Schlink. He said, "How different the world would look. How different the state of our nation would be if there were more sanctified priestly souls. These souls who have the power to bless, for they intercede with sanctified hearts. They never begin their daily time of intercessory prayer without having first brought to the cross all that is unholy in their own life, so that their old self can be crucified there with Jesus, the sacrificial lamb." Hallelujah. Not just people who pray for others, but people who pray to be holy. Can you say amen? What a difference in the pulpits of America would make if pastors prayed to be holy and righteous rather than just smart and appropriate. Can you say amen? I like what Corrie Ten Boom says. She said, when a Christian shuns fellowship with other Christians, the devil smiles. When he stops studying the Bible, the devil laughs. But when he stops praying, the devil shouts for joy. Why pray? Why pray? We got a guy on television. We got tapes. Why read? Why study? So you can check the guy out on television. So you can get to know God yourself. God wants to know you. And the go-between is Jesus, not that fella or this fella. I couldn't give you peace if I tried. I couldn't inject it into you. I can't lay hands on you and inject peace into you. Are you afflicted? You've got a God who says, come to my throne. I got grace sufficient. I got peace that passes understanding. Can you say, man, come to my throne where you can receive these things, achieve these things? And if you can't come to my throne, why can't you? I've invited you. Amen? The effectual fervent prayer of what kind of man? A righteous man? You mean God still requires righteousness? Not just faith? Not just a check written? A seed sown? He still requires righteousness? Amen? Yes, He does, and He won't ever change it. Unless there's a hunger and a thirst for righteousness back in the Church of Jesus Christ and Christian lives, we're going to be looking for somebody to take care of our needs. Somebody with an anointing or gifts or whatever they claim to have. And they may have true anointings and true gifts. There's no substitute for a personal walk with God. And to have a personal walk with God, you've got to take a good look down in here. David knew that. So for restoration to come, he prayed that great prayer after he had done that great sin. That prayer in Psalm 51 is the prayer he prayed after his great sin. Create in me, wash me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me. And take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Can you say, man? It's a man getting thoroughly right with God. Remove in me a right spirit. Can you say amen? And take, forgive me, wash me with hyssop. Hyssop was used for certain things, but one of the most prominent things hyssop was used for is a plant that they dipped in the blood to put it on the doorpost. It would hold enough blood that you could use it almost like a brush to smear that blood around. Wash me with hyssop. It's a type of the cleansing in the new covenant that would come through the blood of Jesus. If we walk as in the light, as He is in the light, the blood is applied to our life. The merits of it. Can you say amen? And it cleanses us from unrighteousness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What happened to being to having preached in such an unrighteous world with so many unrighteous Christians? Because you can't get right with God if you're ogling the secretary. Amen? At work. You can't be right with God if you got aught against your brother. You can't be right with God if you haven't forgiven your sister. You can't be right with God if you close your ears to the cry of the poor, because the Bible said you'll cry yourself and not be heard. So all of the faith teachings and all of the little principles and all of the little neat formulas don't work unless you're right with God. And since you're dealing with God and He's given you a book that tells you what He requires, somebody ought to teach the book and not just that little principle. Because you don't have to crucify the flesh to have a positive confession. But you have to crucify the flesh to quit gossiping and running people down and tearing them up because you haven't forgiven them and you want some kind of, you want your pound of flesh. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? Well, nobody's going to write checks for somebody to tell them how to die. Amen? Nobody's going to a temperance crusade where you bring your body under subjection. Can you say amen? And say, I want to be a real follower of Jesus. And I don't want to be a phony anymore. What would Jesus do? We all know what he would do. Question is, how are we going to act? Can you say amen? God says, if you want your prayer answered, you need to get down in your heart. You need to open it. If you find the unclean, you need to deal with it through the blood of Christ. Wash me with hyssop. I'll be clean. And renew in me a right spirit. Take not thy Holy Spirit. Create in me a clean heart. Renew in me a right spirit. Can you say amen? Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. And restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. I want to see prayers answered. That's a prayer answered thing. It's not. He wasn't saved in the sense that we are. But he knew God's delivering power. And he knew when I'm right with God, it's going to come back. Return to God and he'll do what? Return to you. And believe me, it doesn't leave you impotent. It gives you access to great power. Hallelujah. It avails much. It makes a big difference. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Have you got anything out of this teaching so far? Are we being challenged? That's what I'm asking. Amen. Praise God. I want to be challenged. I need to be challenged. Amen. I used to work out in a gym where I was challenged. I got in there. I thought I'd go in there with executive and stuff, but I picked the wrong gym. There wasn't a bunch of preachers in there trying to look pretty in their suits. There's a bunch of power lifters in there that didn't care about pretty. All they cared about was weight. All this T-bone steaks and iron plates. Amen. And they didn't look like the bodybuilders who wanted to be pretty. In fact, is they covered up the mirrors because they didn't want anything to break their attention, including themselves, on their goal, and that was to lift this big thing that's bending this big old bar over about like that, like a half moon full of weight that they're power lifting. And when they went to contest, it was to see how much you could lift up, stand up with, and how much you could press, and how much you could. And they take all three of those, the squat and the bench and the this, and then they add it together, and who has the most tonnage wins. And they in there, they taped cardboard, big beautiful mirrors. And on this side, the power lifters were working out. They didn't want you to walk in front of them, break their concentration. They were goal-oriented. They didn't want to see themselves. They just wanted to get their mind set where nothing distracted them and put every ounce of everything they had in pulling up that weight. On the other side was the bodybuilders. They wanted to see themselves. I mean glutes. They worked their glutes. They wanted. They checked everything in the mirror. I mean, they really did. It was, you know, I'm looking good today. They shaved themselves and put baby oil on themselves. It wasn't even a contest. It was just a workout in the gym. Man back there shaving himself. Looked like a lizard's belly. Shaved all the hair off his body and then took baby oil and put on and had a deep tan. And came out, and I saw him go over to the mirror, and he's looking, and I'm thinking, and there's a power lifter over here, and the power lifter over there, he doesn't care about himself. All he cares about is that goal that he set for himself. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. I want to be like that power lifter spiritually. Can you say, man? I don't care anymore how I come over. How people judge me, whether they receive me, respect me, or whether they don't. There's an ego that we all have to fight sometimes. But I'm to the point, as long as God keeps coming through, answering prayer, bringing glory to his name, I don't feel the need to impress people anymore. Thank you. Can you say amen? If I pronounce a word wrong, amen, God understands, and God will come through. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen and amen and amen. And I want to see more and more because I'm fighting these battles to win them for the glory of my King, for the good of this congregation, the good of my family, and the glory of my King. Can you say amen? I love telling those stories of God coming through. Do you love to hear them? Praise God. Don't you need me? We need to hear more because we're kings and priests unto him. That means we can enter in to intercession. I got lots more to say, but we don't have the time to go there. Oh, hallelujah. And I can see you're not egging me on, so would everybody stand tonight? I saw Deidre look over and say, don't amen, don't amen, don't amen, don't amen. I love you, Deidre. I'm so glad you're back. We've had a lot of fun since you got back. Praise God. I was going to have to pick on Kim, and I don't think she could take it. Hallelujah. Amen. Why are you with joy tonight? Because Jesus spoke these things to me that his joy might be in me so that my joy might be full. And I can't preach about God coming through. Amen. And what he wants to do for his people and through his people to help his people and bring glory to his name with a big old frown on my face. I don't believe anything is too hard for God. Hallelujah. Amen. Nothing is too difficult. This little church has not known growth in so long. Just the thought of it, it just thinks, my Lord, amen. Praise God. They stay away from here in droves. Amen. Listen to me. But nothing is impossible with God. If the Spirit of God falls in that community, they're going to be headed out of here for a bar and suddenly take that wheel and turn in. There's a church down on Harney Road. Pastor had a testimony. They're going on with their usual crowd. No big things happening. And all of a sudden, one night, a lady come in. She had her purse with her. She come walking in the door. She was obviously distraught. She sit down on the very back row right in the middle of the service. The pastor, and this is not a Pentecostal church, but the pastor, amen, they've been praying, God, let us touch lives. Let us affect people with the gospel of Jesus. We got the bills paid. We got the budget met. Let us do something for your kingdom, praise God. Amen? And this lady sitting in the back, she's clearly distraught. She looks distressed and she's teary-eyed. And the pastor stops the service and he walks back to her. Amen. And he says, do you need prayer for anything? Can we pray for you for something? She opened her purse and pulled out a pistol. Handed it to him. A loaded gun. She said, I was on my way because there's a place right down at the river where you can pull off where people either put boats in or fish. Bullard Parkway, Harney, somewhere. Harney, I guess. She said, I was on my way. She told what had happened in her life, the crisis, her heart so broken. She said, I was on my way. And I started around this curve, and it's a short distance to where she had planned to pull her car off the road in the quietness of that place in the dark, about 8:30 at night, with the gun to her head and in the hurt. The pain and the emptiness of her life. But she said, when I went by this church, something, they always say something, because they don't know the someone yet. Can you say, but said, something told me, go in there. It was God heading her off. Can you say, amen? Glory be to God, hallelujah. That set that church ablaze because they realized praying that God touched people and make us standing in that gap. Making up that hedge. The Holy Spirit just came and turned. You realize he could turn cars into this parking lot from this community right here. If the Holy Ghost gets loosed because we get thoroughly right with God, we want to see souls saved more than we want anything in the world. Praise God. Hallelujah. We could have to get a building program going because we simply don't have any more seats to put them in. We could take that wall out. Amen. Let the men come back here to the bathroom. Amen. We could put a bush out back. They could go out there. Hallelujah. Amen. Come on. Listen, folks. We'd make room for souls, wouldn't we, brothers? Amen. We know how to go behind the bush. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. We could take that wall out, that bathroom out, put the nursery over here, take that wall all the way to the back, put 50 more chairs in here just like that. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory be to God. Woo! Yes, sir. Because you know a little bit about this neighborhood. This neighborhood is a needy neighborhood. These homes back in here, oh, the people that need Christ, that need salvation, and they drive this street every day. And listen, folks, we didn't plan to be here. God planned for us to be here. This whole thing about us being here where we are in this place is a God-planned thing. So I've got to believe that this is our place that God wants us to affect Can you say, man, this neighborhood? Brother Taylor, I want you to come and lead that prayer. God's Spirit's on you. Amen. I believe God's Spirit is on you for that. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Let's join our hands together. Let's get together on this thing tonight. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. I've always wanted to grow this way. Souls coming to Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. There's a lady here with a swimming pool. We can go to her house and baptize her. I've done asked her. Yes, I'm already getting ready. Can you say, man? We'll go to her house. She got a pool. We'll put them down in it, praise God, and fulfill righteousness. Hallelujah. Amen. We need to fill this place with people that have never known Jesus, praise God. With hearts aflame with the first love. Hallelujah. That love the church, love the word of God, love the worship of God. Hallelujah. That want to be here more than they want to be anywhere else.
Hallelujah. Lord, we know that you have us here, Lord God, in this place at this time, Lord God, to make a difference for you, Lord God. Jesus. So, God, we pray. We pray for this neighborhood of these people, Lord. You know every one of them, God. Move by thy Spirit, Lord. Get a hold to the hearts, Lord God, of the people, Lord. Send them in, Lord God. Shalanda, we claim them for your glory, Lord God. Save souls, Lord God. Move by thy Spirit. Have your way, Lord God. Bless, deliver, heal, set free, Lord God. We claim victory, Lord God. Fill this place up, Lord God, for your glory, God. We claim deliverance, Father.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We claim that, God, we're looking to see, Lord God, these things come to pass in your name, Jesus, and for your glory, Master. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Heavenly Father. Hallelujah. Praise God. Just disregard that. These are the days of the Spirit of the Lord. Let's sing this one song before we leave. The Spirit of God is here. Pamela, we need people that have that first love burning to touch other people. People that believe what we're doing is significant. People believe that the Word of God is worth making an effort to hear and to heed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. People that are glad to come in a church where God shows up. It's not just a big gospel show. God shows up. Hallelujah. To deliver, to set free, to heal marriages and broken lives. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. These are the days. This is the night. I'm glad it was just us tonight. I'm glad the people that wanted to be here were here tonight. I'm glad the people with passion, hallelujah, are here tonight. I'm glad some people are here tonight that qualify to pray, to stand in the gap and make up the hedge. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.